This has been a score, 2 minute timeout.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
This is high blood pressure. Get back on your plan. Go to loweryourhbp.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance, reminding you that when you adopt a shelter pet, you discover all the things that make them unique. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Healthcare is very local. We know how it's actually being consumed in Illinois, in Chicago, in Evanston, in Springfield, in every single county. That deep knowledge helps us deliver greater value to all of our customers. My name is Steve Hammond, president of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. We're deeply embedded in our communities and feel the obligation to continue to create new value and drive lower healthcare prices, greater access to coverage, and better health outcomes for all of our customers. We treat every interaction with our customer as something that is very deeply personal. And that's the major difference. We're not trying to get through that call to get another one. We want to engage with that member to find out exactly what issue we can help them resolve. We're a fabric of these communities. That's what sets us apart.
Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a mutual legal reserve company.
Hey, it's David Haw from Mullane Haw. During these difficult times, stay connected with 670 The Score. Here's a simple thing you can do to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. The Score reminds you if you have symptoms like a cough, fever, shortness of breath, or a sore throat, stay home. If your symptoms are mild, you do not need to seek medical care. If symptoms are severe, contact your primary care provider. The Score is here for you. We're always live and local. Just tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score from radio.com. The Score is helping Chicago stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stayconnected.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
Herbie, we got a lot of work to do today. Let's get it.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Herbie, you got into fights with people on Twitter about the Universal DH last night, didn't you?
I mean, I always do, because traditionalists are dumb. This game is meant to evolve, and if you like seeing people who could not do their job, enjoy yourselves. If you look up the stats, back in the 70s, when pitchers were hitting well, maybe you had an argument. But pitchers nowadays are terrible at hitting. And the people that people, you know, put that caveat, he's a good hitting pitcher, they're not good hitters. They're terrible hitters. They're just good hitters for pitchers. It's like the backhanded compliment. Like, if you look at Madison Bumgarner's stats, you'll be surprised how bad it is.
What does he hit, like 175 or something like that?
Yeah, he's not good. He's just good for a pitcher. And then this guy's like, oh, he only does it 5 days a week. Exactly. He's a specialist. Let him
be. Wow, I was on the money, man. I was on the money with that. He hits 177.
Yeah, he's a specialist.
He's a 532 OPS, which means he's worse than Daniel Descalso.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. Man, we've got a good show lined up for you today. Sekou Smith is going to join me at 12:40. We're going to talk about whether or not the NBA can find itself back on the floor and how it would do that. I'm looking forward to that conversation with one of NBA Digital's best. And my buddy Stephen Howard, who was an academic All-American at DePaul, who played in the NBA for 6 seasons, including playing on the 96-97 Jazz, is going to be on the show at 1 o'clock, and we are going to talk with him about Michael Jordan and The Last Dance and his thoughts about playing against Dennis Rodman and Scottie Pippen. Oh, yeah, Scottie Pippen. I'll get to him in a second. If you want to hit us up on the phone line, I would suggest that you keep this number in mind, because I want to talk with you via the phone if it's safe for you to do. I know that people are out there driving. And so I want you to be careful because it is raining. But if it's safe for you to call, I want to ask you a question, specifically those of you all that grew up during the Jordan Bulls era. You can hit us up at 312-644-6767. If texting is more your thing, you can text our text zone at 670-11, which is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai out in Algonquin. Go get yourself a Hyundai, rosenhyundai.com. Let's talk about Scottie Pippen. And if you've been listening to this show over the last couple of weeks, you've heard me say, I don't know if I would like this if I were Scottie. I don't know if this would feel like a feel-good for me if I'm watching The Last Dance and seeing all this stuff that's supposedly supposed to be about all of the Bulls, but kind of is just about Michael Jordan, which is fine because he's the most famous and he's the best player and all of that stuff. This from Yahoo Sports. The headline reads, Scottie Pippen is reportedly unhappy about The Last Dance. Well, you're damn right he is. You know why he's unhappy about it? Because we have spent the last few episodes reliving Scottie Pippen's worst basketball moments. Not only have we been reliving them, we've been relitigating them. And we've also given all the proof that you need to know that Phil made the right call in that Knicks series by letting Tony Kukoc take the last shot. And, of course, Pip didn't help himself by saying he'd do it again. That he'd do it again. So the struggle is real for Scottie. I feel him. I think there have been great moments like Jordan talking about how he couldn't have done it without Scottie for Scottie. But I would understand. I was joking about this. I would love to have had a drink with Scottie and watched episodes 7 and 8. Like, could you imagine like what he really thinks? Like how he would feel about the way that it is portrayed. I would have loved to have been in the room while he was watching those two episodes. We'll see what happens in 9 and 10 and if there's some sort of overtime to this thing, which I imagine we're going to get. But that's not what I wanted to talk about specifically today. I wanted to ask you a question, and I wanted to get into this a little bit because I am looking forward to episodes 9 and 10 because of who my favorite Jordan villain is. My favorite Jordan villain, the guy that I kind of begrudgingly like, and I don't even begrudgingly, I like and respect Reggie Miller. And even back then, when I hated him, I was like, I get it. Like, I totally get it. I get the vibe. I get the whole thing that he's going for. He was the guy that I understood probably the best out of the guys that were in Jordan's way. What's really interesting to me, as I've discussed this over the last few weeks, when you're a kid and you're a fan of a team, the way I was a fan of the Bulls, your team is always the good guy. Your team is the white hat and not the black hat. And everyone else is the black hat. They're standing in the way. And look, I got no beef with Clyde Drexler and Terry Porter. I love them as backcourt. Absolutely love them. Those two guys on that Portland team, I was like, man, those are great players. I honestly didn't really have a problem with Charles either, because I felt like he was another guy. What I respected, it's weird because it's the same thing that Michael Jordan respects. What I respected about Reggie Miller and Charles Barkley was their ability to actually stand up to Michael Jordan. To not just say it, but to back it up with play and bravado and all of the things that make Jordan uncomfortable or have him holding on to grudges and all of that stuff. But there was something about Reggie in particular that he was like a villain that you could root for. Even though now, like looking back on it, I can understand how if you're in Indianapolis, New York City, Salt Lake City, Portland, Seattle, Phoenix, Miami, that you look at Jordan as the villain. Someone has said to me on Instagram how Jordan like was like Batman. Like he would take all these things and he would use them. And my reply was, no, he's like the Joker.
he's making up stuff. He's seeing ghosts that aren't there. It's so crazy. Like, it's great that we're getting all of this stuff. I've enjoyed it. It's allowed me to be in the moment and now look back on it and go, oh, that's how they were able to do that. That seems like an unfortunate way to go about the idea of leadership. But it's made me look back at all of these people that were in the way, and I'm using air quotes, you can't see me, but I'm using air quotes, of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman and Luke Longley and Bill Cartwright in the way of them winning championships. So, I wanted to ask you about this. Which of the foils, which of the people that were in the way of Michael Jordan did you kind of like? I'm not saying that you wanted them to win, because clearly you wanted the Bulls to win. But which one of that collective group, whether it's Isaiah or Laimbeer, Barkley, Reggie, Patrick Ewing, who to me is the most likable overall, but he didn't win. Any of Karl Malone, although you should do some background work into Karl Malone, John Stockton, Sean Kemp, Gary Payton, which one of those villains, and I'm using air quotes for that too, are the most relatable and the most likable to you? 312-644-6767 is the number. If you would like to jump in and be a part of that conversation, you can also text us. 670-11 is the way that you get through to the text zone, which is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai, rosenhyundai.com. I threw this question out at our buddy Jason Leisure yesterday. He covers the Bears, but he grew up here. You know, before he went on to New Orleans and covering the Dolphins down in Miami, he's someone who grew up in the 90s as a Bulls fan. So I asked him the same question, knowing that I was going to ask it to you. Here's what he said on who his favorite villain was.
The team that it sticks with me to this day, that I love to see the Bulls beat them, even though this matchup is an absolute just like slap fight on the playground now. It's a joke that the rest of the league doesn't even care about anymore, is when they beat the Knicks.
So the Knicks, that was it for you. What was it about them that bothered a young Jason Leisure?
They were so hateable, man. I mean, there's not a more punchable face in NBA history than John Starks. Either John Starks, or if you remember, Seattle had this goon named Frank Brickowski, who
yes.
His sole job in that series was to try to provoke Rodman. But he would often like a bad kids cartoon show villain, he would often provoke himself into getting technical fouls instead. Those two guys were so hateable, but the Knicks were rough and nasty. And, you know, if you grew up in Chicago, there's kind of this chip on your shoulder about New York that they just think they do everything bigger and better than us in every way. So it would have to be the Knicks, and it's still the Knicks, even though both those teams are irrelevant now. It still makes me happy when the Bulls beat the Knicks.
Okay. So I don't want to hear about the team that you hated the most. Like, we've done that. We've gone through that. And you know how I feel about it. It's Detroit. So it won't, for this particular conversation, for me, it would have been impossible for this to be Isaiah and Laimbeer. Impossible. But for Reggie Miller, I can put him into the mix and give my thoughts on it and say that that was the most relatable, lovable villain, air quotes, to me. Isn't it weird to know that we were rooting for the bad guy? Isn't that strange? Like, in our minds, like, oh, Jordan's the hero. And it's, for those of you who are into comic books or even literature, if you look at it, it's very Shakespearean, where you have the guy overcome odds and go through a hero's quest. Then he becomes the hero,
And as he gains more power and clout, you go, oh, no, he might be the villain. We've been rooting for the villain the whole time. Who knew? Who knew that we were all fans of the Joker? And the Joker kept winning. Michael Jordan as killing joke Joker is something I need to explore a little bit more deeply. Okay, let me take a look at some of your text messages that have come in on this. There's some people who are right there with me on it. This texter's got it spot on. We were rooting for Tom Brady. 100%. We're the bad guys, and we've been rooting for the bad guy for 30 years. That's been us. Not realizing that we're part of the bad guy crew. And I guess, I mean, you can make the argument they're the good guy all the way through the first three-peat, right? We can make the argument that we're with the good guys. The good guys overcame and they won. And then the hero went off to go play baseball. And when he came back, he was just awful. Just awful. Okay. 773. This is pretty good. My most favorite villain, and thank you for using the air quotes, is Joe Dumars. He wasn't like the rest of his team. I would agree with that. I mean, there were good guys on those Pistons teams. Joe Dumars, John Sally, Buddha Edwards. I mean, not everyone was Laimbeer, Isaiah, and Mahorn. Although, it did have me looking sideways at Mark Aguirre for a really long time, and he's my favorite DePaul player ever. 224 texter says, Patrick Ewing. I got you. This text is, hey, Lawrence, definitely Ewing. My parents from Chicago, but I grew up in New Jersey until 97. 224 Texas says, definitely Isaiah and the Pistons, Phil Jackson and Jordan's wussification. Oh, I'm throwing that back out there, huh? Is that what we're doing? 630 Texas says, love to watch Sean Kemp dunk. Sonics unis were a plus. Pretty much hate everyone else, especially all the Knicks, all the Pistons, and definitely hated Reggie. Parenthetically, but I like him on the air just a little bit. Yeah, you get it. You get it when it's about Reggie. All right, let's go to the phones. 312-644-6767. Park Ridge and Ryan. Hey, Ryan, you're on the score.
Hey, how are you doing, Lawrence?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, the one texter brought up Joe Dumars, and I think out of all the Pistons, we hated him the least. But I'd have to look to the West and Gary Payton. I just always admired him and thought if he was an addition to the Bulls, if we had him on the team, we could beat any team in the world, even an all-star team. And Hakeem Olajuwon was a guy I always admired. And always wished we would have had a good matchup with them in the finals just once. I think it would have been a battle.
I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, we can't put – I don't think we can put Dream in there because there wasn't enough of an interaction between when the Rockets teams were really good and when the Bulls were really good. And there are a lot of people who were wondering, you know, would we ever get a chance to see that? This texter brings up Dominique. That's good. I mean, you're going back to the 80s for that. But I like it. It's before Michael becomes a hero. And let's be real. Dominique won the 88 dunk contest. Yeah, I said it. All right. Out to Rockford and Payo. Hey, Payo, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, this is Payo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Payo with a P as in peas?
Nope. Payo with a P as in Tom. Payo.
All right. Then let me try that again. In 3, 2, 1. Let's go out to Rockford and talk with Payo. Payo, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. You know, it has to be John Starks. When you say a villain that you love to watch, it had to be John Starks. He had the toughest assignment of anybody trying to guard Jordan. But then when he had that dunk on the Bulls, you just had to, like, root for that guy, you know, knowing he couldn't stop Jordan. But, man, he brought it every single game. And besides that guy, Reggie Miller, you knew you almost beat the Bulls in that Eastern Conference final when they almost beat the Bulls in 98. Oh, my God. That was, like, the most scariest moment of being a Bull fan, thinking that Indiana was going to take down the Bulls, you know, but Scottie's locked down Jackson, and we got through it. But those are the two players you kind of love to hate.
Well, I appreciate the phone call. That series is very stressful,
And I've been talking about it since this whole thing started. I'm looking forward to them getting into it and all of us kind of watching it again together. Cause that series was so good that watching the highlights of it is going to stress you out on Sunday.